Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was younger, when my dad was alive, and he was trying to teach us children to care for each day. And he would tell us that there was no tomorrow when we'd get carried away. He'd say, because when you go to bed at night, it's today. And when you wake up in the morning light, it's today. And for a long time, I wondered where he got it from, because how do you plan for what's next? Well, Christ tells us to worry about today, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough of its own worries. And so I wondered if he had got it from there a little bit. I don't know if somebody in the world had said a quote like that, and maybe they pulled it from here, but that verse where Christ talks about worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about it, and worrying about today, and verses like the reading from Hebrews seems to be an influence that my dad had, and maybe even the person he was quoting, if he was quoting someone, but it holds true. We do have to have some good stewardship and look ahead a little bit, but each day as we get up is called today. And the author, Hebrews, has a bit of a hard warning for us. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. We live each day that is called today, facing the fact that we are sinners, that our inclination is to not believe. And there is much in this world that distracts us, much about life that would seek to call us away, things that we would prioritize over giving the Lord our time. And there it is that our heart in sin does not have the way of the Lord in mind. But yet he calls us to repentance with these loving words, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who had heard yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? With whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. You see, in our sin, in our sinful nature, we are like those in the wilderness, lost, crying out in the wilderness for our own self-righteousness, for our own bringing of ourselves to salvation. And yet, when our back in sin is turned to God, he is there calling out to us, calling us to the gift given in the Savior. And there it is that the hard part for us is in our sin we think we can save ourselves. We think we can set the path right on our own. But it's not the case. Take the story of the rich young man in our story today. He had been taught by the Pharisees that he could make his own path. And in the world, he was rich. He could buy whatever he wanted and have it just the way he said. And so why would that not be the same with his own salvation? Most likely, being from the lineage of Abraham, he's got it set. He's living the best life now, so to speak. Yet, as Christ is there, this man comes to him, runs up to him, it says, and kneels before him. And he uses his good earthly pose to try to get Jesus to do what he wanted, to give him the answer he wanted. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Has the scriptures been being listened to and read by the Pharisees? He might know the answer. But he didn't. And so he comes to Jesus, who is a teacher that is spoken highly of, despite the Pharisees and the other teachers not wanting it that way, and the other priests not wanting it that way. And Jesus recognizes that this man does not believe in God, because he does not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. And so Jesus' response to him is with a question. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then he goes in to lay out the commandments. And since he's already addressed the first three, he only addresses the ones related to his neighbors. For he's already addressed that the man did not keep the first three commandments. And so he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And the rich young man says to Jesus, teacher, all these I have done from my youth. And Jesus, loving his people and loving his creation, looks on him with love and says to him, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. This rich man had made his money his God and made himself his God, his own idols. But then the possessions he bought with his money also were his idol, his God. And he couldn't see it. And Jesus gives him the same offer he gave to the apostles. Come, follow me. Maybe even to be an apostle, had he taken him up on it, we don't know where that would have gone. But we know he was given the chance to follow the Lord and to share the gospel as the Lord called him to do. The young man was disheartened by the saying and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His treasure was built up for him here in this life. But as the Lord points out to us elsewhere, these earthly things we have only last until the day we die. These earthly possessions and treasures of this life are a means to an end for enjoying and partaking in the gifts of the Lord in this life and sharing, loving, and caring for those given to our care. It's easy for us to look at life and wonder, does it really matter? Are these hours, are these minutes that we're here each week too much? Are they burdening for us to be here? Is it too much for us to receive these gifts that God has promised to be in? For us? Is it too much to have young children making noise in the pews? Is it too much to listen to a sermon or the Word of God read to us? Where are our hearts, brothers and sisters? What is it that we are lacking?
Where are our priorities? Yes, each week has its duties and its moments, its times and its needs. The Lord calls us to this place each week for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, maybe a little longer every once in a while. Where's our priorities? What are we here to receive? Well, we're here to hear the Word of God read, as we have done today. We're here to remember that the Lord has marked us as His children in the waters of baptism, of remembrance you can have every day, because every day you wake up and it's today, you know you are a baptized child of God and that Christ has died for you. His blood has paid the price for you. He was crucified for you. And your sins are covered. And that same Savior in His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave has defeated death. And as promised to Eve all the way back in the garden, Satan is crushed under His heel. That there you would see that He has no power, that His temptations and the fallen angels, the demons that are with Him, have no power or authority over you. For your Lord is the one who created you. He is the Word spoken that you would have life, that you'd receive from Him as promised in the waters of baptism, with the Word and the water, as He's marked you with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as He has instituted. There, forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. As you hear the words of absolution, whether from one another or from a pastor, there it is. You have, as is promised there, the forgiveness of sins. And where there's forgiveness, you always have what is given to you in the victory of Christ. Forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. And we come each week strengthened by our Lord and receive as He's given to us in that bread and wine, as He said it is, His body and His blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, that you would have, as He has promised, forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal, not because of something you've done, but because of what He's done. That He would bring you together to confess in unity this faith of the Christian church. And that there we would confess together in the creeds and in the sacrament of what is our Lord and Savior, proclaiming it until that day that Christ returns. And there it is. That it is His supper that He calls us to, that we kneel and stand at. It is His body and His blood that we receive and is given for you. This life is hard. It is. It comes with the burdens, and sometimes it's harder than others. There's that saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. And someone intuitively understood and said, yeah, until you get there. Look at the world around us. Yeah, the Lord gives us that the flowers, the plants, all of that would have its season. Now we're heading into fall and they're starting to change to pretty orange and browns and all of that. We look at the world around us and we wonder, is it enough? The fact is, in our sin, we are not enough. We can't do enough. We can't save ourselves. What we can do is be where the Lord asks us to be, in the place where He promises to be, to receive what He promises to give, to be here. at his service, receiving those gifts and that promise that there we could do in this day called today, as the author of Hebrews exhorts us to do. To exhort, encourage one another. To be in the Word of God. To believe and turn from sin. That our hearts would not be hardened in it. That we would not be lost in unbelief forever and live in evil of sin and death and Satan's tyranny forever. We look at the world around us. In our prayers today, we'll pray for those affected by the hurricanes Helene and Milton. Yeah, the grass is greener on the other side, but this world is hard. It has those birthing pains. There are disasters around us every day. Some that we hear of because the news finds it entertaining. Others go under the radar. Think about the families in our community who each day are facing brokenness and sorrow in their lives because sin has broken them to the point of sickness and illness in ways that you could never imagine. Vices that you'd say, oh, no worries. But for them, they are found lost and wanting. Some even believing in the Lord and calling to him for help. Our world likes to mock that prayer that we have to the Lord, right? For this young rich man, he came to the Lord in prayer, not even realizing who he was talking to, but seeking a way out, seeking the easy way out. And yet in our world, in the media, on the TV, in the movies, what is it? People test the Lord, right? They say, Lord, give me this. Or that, and then I'll believe. A show that I go back to every once in a while and watch is the TV show Big Bang Theory. It's interesting. All the different things that they have going on in there as far as people are concerned. And they seem to have got our human condition right to some extent. And one of the main characters, his name's Sheldon, and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He believes science has nothing to do with God. He believes that all of that is the way it is. But his mother is a very stark Christian woman. And one time he was struggling in the show with something in life, with work or with the sciences or whatever. I don't remember the exact thing he was struggling with. And he had tried everything to fix it himself. He tried everything, so to speak, to save himself. And finally, in a sense, he heard his mother's voice in the back of his head. Well, the Lord is in charge of everything, so pray to him. And so what does he do? He starts praying to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the problem is fixed. Or he figures out the answer. And he says to the Lord, never mind, I don't need you. I got this all on my own. The world likes to mock us and our prayer to a God they can't know or see because they are lost in sin and unbelief. But dear brothers and sisters, not only does the Lord call us to repentance and to belief in the faith he's given us in the waters of baptism, the faith he strengthens us to in the absolution of the Lord's Supper, but he calls us to share the gospel with the world around us, to call those in need to receive his promises, just as you receive them. Even if the world wants to mock and jeer, even if we forget why we're here on a Sunday and want to get out the doors as quick as we can, the Lord calls you here because he loves you, just as he loved that man who came running to him. He loves you, but he died for you. And there you have what he has promised. Promised to Abraham and Isaac and David and Moses
and to all of them before them and all of them after them. Do you have Jesus Christ, who died for you, the Lamb of God, who is, as we sang in our hymn, I thank thee, Jesus, Son from heaven, whose radiance has brought light to me. I thank thee who hast richly given all that could make me glad and free. I thank thee that my soul is healed by what thy lips revealed. And even the verse before that reminds us of what he's done. The strength we have from him. Thee will I love, my life, my Savior, who art my best and truest friend. Thee will I love and praise forever. For never shall thy kindness end. Thee will I love with all my heart. Thou my Redeemer art. This is who's with you each day. Who's with you facing the sins, the sorrows, the griefs, the pain. It is he who gives you those gifts, that you would have what he promises, forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal. And to close us out, that final verse from the hymn, thee will I love, my crown and gladness, thee will I love, my God and Lord, amid the darkest depths of sadness, and not for hope of high reward, for thine own sake, O light divine, so long as life is mine. He's not talking about this life. He's talking about eternal life. For the Lord gives you his kingdom and gives you a life with him that will never end. For he will live forever and was raised from death. And so shall you who believe be raised from death to life everlasting, to rest in his kingdom, in the new heaven and the new earth forever. This is what he's won for you in that victory. As his body was given and shed for you. This is why we come week in and week out, to be reminded of all that God has done for you. And these gifts are yours in him. And there you shall find that on this day called today, you can share the gospel with your neighbors. On this day called today, that forgiveness is yours. On this day called today, you have that victory of Christ, and therefore you receive from him salvation. And on that final day called today, when the trumpet sounds, into that eternal day called today, you will receive eternal life as he raises you from death to life everlasting. And there you will sing praises forever with him on that eternal day called today. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.